This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan, and we'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson. The Biden administration has approved a temporary waiver expanding the use of summer E15 ethanol blends, also known as unleaded 88. The measure extends the period that E15 is available for 8 Midwestern states, including Minnesota, from June 1st to September 15th, 2024.
Corn and ethanol groups are responding favorably to the Biden administration's temporary waiver. The Minnesota Corn Growers Association past president, Richard Severson, said this waiver provides certainty for corn growers and ethanol plants.
The Biden administration had responded to the governor's petition from 8 Midwestern states by allowing and issuing a waiver for E15 in the summertime, except that they had not included 2024. It'll be approved year-round for 2025 and on. So we needed to make sure that we got this waiver for 2024. We've had waivers for 22 and 23 to ensure that consumers in these 8 states have uninterrupted access to E15 or unleaded 88, depending on how it's marketed at the retailers.
Severson says this will also benefit consumers and retailers.
This also gives the retailers the assurance that they don't need to put special labels on their dispensers or monitor how people fill up their tanks. It means for drivers that they can keep on saving the money that E15 usually saves them, average last year 16 cents to 17 cents a gallon statewide.
National Corn Growers Association President and Medalia, Minnesota farmer Harold Woolley says the E15 waiver is only a temporary solution that he would like to see a nationwide approval.
The last couple of years we've been able to do the summertime E15 sales because of these same types of waivers have been issued. And another complicating factor is the 8 Midwestern state governors request to EPA to allow summertime E15 sales. And EPA has approved that, but not until the summer of 25. But we really want a summertime sales of E15 to be nationwide, not just in the 8 Midwestern states. So we've got some work to do there yet.
Woolley says there is demand for year-round E15.
Consumers want E15, marketed as unleaded 88. It's good for the environment. It works great in their cars. And it's usually, 10 to 20 cents a gallon cheaper. So it's very important. The retailers are used to selling it now, and so I'm so glad that they aren't going to have to change their pumps and or deny consumers the ability to buy unleaded 88. So very good news all the way around this summer.
Seeing widely scattered snow flurries and snow showers across North Dakota and northern Minnesota at midday, there's also a line of showers right along the North Dakota-South Dakota border.
Wheat has started to go in the ground in North Dakota, but according to North Dakota Wheat Commission Policy and Marketing Director Jim Peterson, it's been pretty hit and miss.
We're, certainly getting a good start and up until kind of the moisture we've gotten here of late, and obviously the cooler temperatures, so that's probably slowed things a bit. Obviously in the southern part of the state, I think people get going a little bit sooner, and so there's certainly some wheat that's gone in the ground, and then you get further south into South Dakota. They had a pretty good week, and, the moisture this time of the year is kind of a good and bad thing. There's obviously a lot of places in the state that need some moisture, especially as you get up in the north. And so I think they would welcome more, even if it, sets them back here another week or.
While there might be a slight delay until weather turns, farmers are still in a good position so far this spring.
But I think all in all, we're still sitting pretty good. And I think guys are optimistic that we're still ahead of the curve as far as the planting season. And, whatever little moisture they can get is obviously going to be beneficial for getting the crop up and going. And then obviously, through the summer, we're definitely going to need more based on the lack of snow we've had this winter and just, you know, kind of the suck down in soil moisture.
World Weather Incorporated says limited rains over the next 7 days will not have a lot of impact on soil moisture for the northern plains. Better chances of rain are expected during the second week of the two-week outlook, with near to above average rains expected. Temperatures will slowly warm from the 30s and 40s today to the upper 60s and lower 70s by the end of next week.
Rains will slow field work from eastern Kansas and Nebraska to Michigan, Indiana, and eastern Kentucky through the weekend. World Weather Incorporated says much of the central Corn Belt received 1 to 2 inches of rain. Planting progress will continue through Wednesday for the western Corn Belt and through next week, Friday, in the eastern Corn Belt. World Weather says rains return to the forecast for much of the Midwest beginning next week, Thursday, and continuing through May 1st.
Today is the deadline for funding bills moving through the Minnesota legislature to pass their committees. Minnesota Corn Growers Public Policy Director Amanda Billick says the Corn Growers has sent following agriculture and environmental policy this session.
And what this requires is that the various committees of jurisdiction, like agriculture or environment, need to pass out their supplemental omnibus finance bills and get those referred over to the larger finance committees in each body, and then they'll eventually be making it to the floor for full consideration within the next couple of weeks. So this week has been busy in poring over the hundreds of pages and spreadsheets of policy-related items, but more importantly with some of the finance items too. In those various bills, we've been most active in working on the agriculture bills in each body, as well as the environment bills in each body.
There have been proposals for an additional tax on fertilizer to address nitrate issues in southeast Minnesota, and Billick says they hope to see a different approach prevail.
We went into session really amplifying that what was important for the state was, instead of adding new taxes to farmers at this time, but to use either general fund or dedicated resources like through the Clean Water Fund.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
The 96th South Dakota FFA State Convention is underway today and tomorrow. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson is reporting from Brookings.
Here at the South Dakota FFA State Convention in Brookings, South Dakota, speaking with T Area High School's FFA advisor Clayton Sorum. Clayton, how's this year's convention going so far, and what are you looking forward to here for today and tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the convention has changed so much over the last few years. It used to be pretty exclusive to SDSU's campus, and now we're here at Dakota Bank Center, formerly Swiftel Center. It's flowed really smooth. I think it's a real credit to our leadership, you know, Wyatt DeYoung, Caroline Hansen, and then Mercedes Snedeker. I mean, everything's flowed really smooth for me on an advisor end. We got kids, they competed in meat science this morning, so I got our kids out for ag mechanics right now doing their individual portion. And really just, this evening we're going to be honoring our first state degree out of our chapter. So I'm really excited to see that happen. And really, I mean, there's the Career Carnival today. It's an awesome event here.
How does FFA help prepare students for the future, futures in agriculture?
I think so much of it is just trying to give kids a taste of each kind of career pathway. We have so many students that we just tell them to go try a contest or just go try a class that we offer at the school. And if they don't like it, we get them switched. You know, we try to find what their interests are. You know, agriculture is so broad, and really, if you look at the statistics, it employs more people than any other industry in the world. So that's why when people ask why we're teaching agriculture at the schools or why we have FFA, it's so broad and why we have so many different contests. We're able to try to give kids a taste of that career path before they go off to a two-year or a four-year or some kind of college. Spend all this money on a degree and then realize they don't like something. So being able to get kids' foot in the door, whether that head start or just to figure out what they would like to do, I mean, it's really building career paths in so many different directions.
All right. Appreciate your time and the information, Clayton. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the rest of the convention, sir.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
That was T Area High School FFA advisor Clayton Sorum. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Coverage of the 96th Annual South Dakota FFA Convention is brought to you by South Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Corn Utilization Council, Full Circle Ag, and South Dakota Farm Bureau. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
South Dakota FFA President Alyssa Feathers says her time as state president and leadership roles generally has been an exciting experience.
For this past year especially, I've learned so much more about leadership and how it can evolve and look differently for each person, and how the littlest things can make the strongest leaders later on. But I joined FFA when I was in eighth grade, and that kind of is where my love for it all started. I had a leadership role my freshman year, and from there I just continued going further, and I've just loved all the opportunities it's given me.
And Feathers says state convention is a place where others get a chance to share their agricultural perspectives and experiences.
One of the biggest things that I think I've been able to take away from FFA is all the different perspective you'll get. Everyone has so many bright ideas and opinions, and they're willing to share that with you, which is so powerful because it can go such a long way. And I'm excited for state convention mainly because meeting more members and getting to see old friends and everything like that. But the perspective that they've taught me, I'm able to kind of show others and share that with people as well.
South Dakota has set a membership record this year for South Dakota FFA as the organization continues to grow in the state. State Advisor Mercedes Snedeker provides details.
Last night there was just over 2,100. We're hoping by the end of convention we can break 2,200 students and guests, and then also members. Overall, South Dakota FFA has grown this year. We reached over 6,000 members, which is the first time we've done that. And so just the organization as a whole is continuing to grow.
The event takes a lot of planning throughout the year.
This convention, we started planning back in October, right after National Convention, and have worked really closely with SDSU staff as they are the key component to help us run quality contests. And we use a lot of SDSU's facilities to help us do that. And so we've started some of those communications early. Again, with the schedule changes, a lot of things had to change, but we're really thankful for the partnership with SDSU.
Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. Listen at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcasts. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
This week we're going to be looking at Sioux Honey Honey Cooperative in Sioux City, Iowa. And what that is it's a member-owned honey cooperative of around 197 members who are able to have a stable market for their honey. And then that honey goes from Sioux City and it is shipped all over the world in different brands and packaging.
Beekeepers from several different states then?
It is. It's a nationwide company. A lot of them are from North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa area. They also have a packaging facility in California and North Carolina, too, so they get honey from beekeepers all over the country. Those beekeepers that are members of the cooperative, they don't have to go out and try to find places to buy their honey or find smaller packaging facilities to package that honey. They're able to just take it to the cooperative in Sioux City, and that is the largest honey cooperative in the nation. So it's a pretty great opportunity for those beekeepers.
Do you talk to some of the beekeepers themselves or not?
We do, yes. There's one beekeeper from northern Minnesota who spoke with me, and his family's been involved for over 50 years with the cooperative. They have the Sioux Bee Honey brand, and they have Aunt Sue's Honey as well. So they've got a couple different brands that are coming out of there. So throughout the story, you'll just kind of get to see a little bit of the process and how it goes from raw honey to what you see on the store shelf. So it's kind of a cool experience. Got to walk through there and see how that was done.
Well, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Quick look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis May wheat currently 8¾ cents higher at 647.5. September 10 cents higher at 662.5. Chicago wheat 14 higher at 550¾. Kansas City 6 higher at 583¼. May corn futures 6½ higher at 433¼. December corn 5¾ higher at 465¼. Soybeans May futures 17 cents higher at 1151¼. November soybeans 13 higher at 1162¼. Live cattle, June 7 cents higher at 175.40. August live cattle at 25 cents lower at 173.27. Feeder cattle, May futures down 72 cents. And lean hogs, May $1.50 higher at $96.22. This is the Red River Farm Network.